All right, youngins, you may go take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. That cross is a little too dark blue for me. I am wearing a dark blue shirt today, though. If I had a title for this morning's message, it would simply be entitled, More Than Enough. More Than Enough. Have you ever been going through one of those weeks where it's just been a rough week? I mean, it's been a hard week. Devil is playing in your mind, almost like it's full time he's playing in your mind. And not only is he playing in your mind, but he is almost making you start to believe things that are not true. And last night we were, Sarah and I went out after the teen activity. We dropped Noah and Jordan off, and I picked Sarah up, and we had to pick up some things from the store. And we were just talking. As you can tell, she's not here in here this morning. And yesterday we were chatting, and she was talking about how it just. Sometimes it just, you just wonder, you just ask yourself out loud, is God or Jesus really who he says he is? Because we've all had those vulnerable moments where we wonder, is Jesus who he says he is? And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The answer is, he is more than enough. When you start to really sit down and think about it, he is more than enough. And so when Sarah was kind of telling me about her week, a lot of times when I'm reading the Bible, God shows me things, of things that he's even working on me. I'll just be honest. As I'm studying, as I'm reading, and as I'm mulling over, it's amazing how it applies to me. That's just me being completely real and honest with you. That I really don't get sermon material from any of y'all. I really do not. God gives me enough sermon material, I think, out of my own life. Unless it's Megan, then it's easy material. But yes. And so, no, I don't use Megan as sermon material here. I have in other places. And but as I was going through the week, I was like having those crazy thoughts, like, is he enough? Because I sit back and I'll be honest, I pinch myself that I get to do this here. And I sometimes feel very inadequate. If I could be very vulnerable with you this morning, I feel very inadequate at the job that God has me doing here. And I don't say that like some false pride, humility. I really do. It is a crazy task I believe he's asked me and wanted me to do. And so oftentimes I ask myself, God, why? And he says, Josh, I'm more than enough. And so Sarah's not here this morning because she's in the nursery with Nima. But I told her what I was preaching on, and I said, look, and this is, we're in the car driving, and I was telling her about the message. And I said, look, you can go back to my iPad and look. This has already been typed out. I've already mulled over it. So nothing that you're telling me now, I'm using you as sermon material. Chapter 8, though. I've been stuck in Mark. I actually love the book of Mark. And so I've been in it over and over. I'm like a cow that, you know, he picks up a little bit, he chews, moves it to another stomach, regurgitates it later, and chews on it some more. That's how I work through my sermons. It's like a cow. I don't walk around chewing on the word necessarily like that, but not physically anyways, but I do. I pull it out and I work through it. Chapter 8 starts with the first 9 verses. We'll read those together. We'll pray and get started. The Bible says, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude. Again, I will stop and let's pause on that one. I have compassion. How many times have we read in the Gospels, in these very books, the red letters, the black letters, the word compassion? Jesus had compassion. And that was one of his biggest things. He saw a multitude, they hadn't eaten, and he had compassion. Because they have been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them that came afar. And the disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with the bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves, gave thanks and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled and took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And when they had eaten, there were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would meet with us just this morning, just for the next few moments, Lord, of how you are more than enough. Lord, I pray that we would grab onto that today. Lord, I pray that you would empty me and speak through me from the things that you have shown me and the things that you want me to bring across this morning. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen. We see here in this story there was a great multitude that had nothing to eat. Jesus calls his disciples aside, and I could see them huddling up. He says, I have compassion on the multitude because they have been with me for 3 days and have not eaten. Then he says, if I send them away, they're going to faint because they've been fasting, and I don't want that to happen. And then they said, whence can a man satisfy these men with bread in the wilderness? Now, that's a funny line. The word wilderness is mentioned about 300 times in the Bible. And so this place, they're in a wilderness. If you turn over a couple of chapters before, turn over to Mark chapter 6, verse 35 through 38. And so you have to realize, as you're turning there, they said, how can this man, Jesus, feed them and satisfy them? 2 chapters previous, and the day was now spent. His disciples came unto him, who? Jesus. And said, this is a desert place. And now time is for past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and to buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, give ye to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Let's set the stage. Chapter 7, you read it just like I did. These same disciples said to Jesus in front of another multitude, how can these bread satisfy here in the wilderness? I can just imagine how Jesus was speaking back to them. Could it be possible? Now give me a little bit of liberty, because he didn't speak English necessarily, he spoke Aramaic, but couldn't you just hear him say, were you not just with me 2 chapters previous? You watched me take less fish, less bread. I fed 5,000, not counting women and children. But today, it's been a few days. You haven't eaten. I haven't eaten. And these same disciples say, can you really feed these people? Think about that just for a moment. They had just went with them. They might have thought in their brains, like we're human, right? They were human. He did it once. Could he do it again? No doubt Thomas, funny I just said that, no doubt Thomas, catch that one. That one's a good one. Thomas, who was a doubter, after Jesus had died and come back, said, I can't believe unless I put my hands in the side and touch his hands where the nails went through. And Jesus said, blessed are they that believe and don't see. So these are the disciples he's talking about. He said, hey, you have seen me in previous chapters, in previous days, healing the sick, taking care of the people that have need of a physician. You have seen me raise people. You have seen me lifted them up. You have seen me taking care of them. You have walked with me. You have talked with me. You have been with me to feed 5,000. Why are you asking again if I can do it? Jesus said, I'm more than enough. I'm more than enough. Let's go a layer deeper. We read this one book of 66 different books. And we've seen and we've read the stories and we believe. But we still doubt like doubting Thomas most days. It said they were in the wilderness. That wilderness that you sometimes find yourself in. That desert place you might find yourself in where you believe or you feel that you are the only one there. That somehow he has left you and forsaken you during such a time, and you're hungry to hear from him. I would encourage you, look back at your other valleys. Look at your other desert places. Look at your other wildernesses. And revisit those places to see where he brought you out of, where he was more than enough, where he was enough, and where he takes care of it. And he tells his disciples here, you were just with me to feed 5,000, not counting men, women, and children, just the men. We took up 12 baskets that remain. And there in their short span of belief, had a moment or a lapse, and they basically asked Jesus, can you do it again? Can you do it again? A man reached out to me earlier this week as I was traveling. This had nothing bearing on the message, but it went with it. He sent me a text, and he says, I have been doing this and that and that and this, and it seems like I can never get ahead. He said, how long do I have to continue to go through these things? He said, I look at other people and it seems like they have it all together. I look at other people that they're not struggling quite like I am. He said, I'm doing it because I obey him. I'm doing it because I love him. But I just wonder, why do I keep doing it just to find myself in the same boat, it feels like. Now, this man, if you were to go back and listen to his story as a kid who grew up in church, got away for a while, lived the way that he wanted to, God brought him back. And God has showed him some things, and God has allowed him to be able to do some things. He's called me at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, beyond freaking out with his world, feeling like it's crashing in on him, like he can't breathe. And as we walk through trial after trial over the past 17 years of our friendship, this is what I encouraged him to do. Keep going. Keep being obedient. Keep moving forward. I said, I can't help all the situations in life. But I did say, man, you have to look back. You feel like you're in a wilderness right now, but you have to look back and see all the other times that he has been more than enough. You have to look back at those times where he brought you through some crazy situations. You have to just sit back and you have to visit those times where he said he was enough and you believed and he brought you through it. At that point, you were going through a pretty rough time, but he brought you through it. And it was peaches and creams for a few days, a few months, maybe even a couple of years, but something hit you out of nowhere like you can't feel like you can't control. And I said, hey, visit those. Can I tell you today? Visit these. Go back to the other times when he has brought you through a situation and realize that he was enough then, he is enough right now, and he's going to be enough. We get so boggled down sometimes, church family. We get so bogged down in where we're at right now. And we feel like we are being suffocated by it. And you know what? Let me tell you, that's nothing more than what Satan would want you to feel and to go through. He does a good job at trying to kick us when we're down. He does a good job of trying to take our joy from us. He does a good job of trying to strip everything that we have put up. And the whole time Jesus said, hey, remember that other chapter. Remember that time you were going through that situation? You felt like it was end of the world situation? I brought you through it. Remember that time you went through this? It might not have felt it at the moment that I was with you, but I was with you. And on the other side of the storm, the other side of the wilderness, the other side of the desert, you saw that I was more than enough. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus is more than enough. You're going to have to look back at the times he fed 5,000 in your faith. You're going to have to look back at those times he healed the blind of your faith. You're going to have to take some time and realize that he took care of the lameness of your faith. And realize each time he's been more than enough. Maybe you need to hear that today, that Jesus is more than enough. That what he has done, what he did, for all those stories he did during the disciples' time, the 3 years, 3 years and a half of his ministry, that the book of John, the last verse says, if it wrote down everything that Jesus did, the books of this world could not contain it. You could write down the things that are listed are not everything he did. And his disciples witnessed it. But those disciples still had wilderness faith sometimes. Felt like they were all alone. Peter had his eyes on Jesus, got out of the boat, had faith to get out of the boat, took his eyes off Jesus, started to sink. Thomas said, I've watched this stuff go on for 3.5 years. All those books that would have been written, he witnessed it. He walked with them. He talked with him. He got to hold Jesus' hand. He got to be in the cities with Jesus. He walked and said, hey, unless I see your body and touch those hands that I've held before, unless I can put my hand in your side, I'm struggling with my belief. Can I tell you, he was more than enough for Peter, more than enough for Thomas. He's more than enough for you and I. But it doesn't. I'm not here to say it's going to take away your wilderness experience. But what I can tell you is to keep going. What I can tell you is to keep holding on. Jesus was enough then. Jesus is enough now, and he's more than enough going forward, but we have to believe it. We have to live that way, that he is who he says he is. Many of y'all now have been to my house, and I'm hoping to get the rest of y'all to my house soon. If you were to walk out our front door, you see a picture of a lady. She's walking on the beach. She's walking. You can tell this is the storms of life that have hit her. She looks like she is all alone. She is like frozen in time, trying to hold on, trying to just happen. And then the reflection. You see that she is not alone at all, because Jesus is standing with her in that portrait, walking her through the desert, walking her through the wilderness, being more than enough. I'm going to tell you, some days you're going to wonder, is he enough? The answer is yes. Today he doesn't feel like enough, but he is enough. I am really struggling today. He is enough. I don't know if I can keep going. Keep going. He is enough. I just want to quit. Don't quit. He's more than enough. Keep going. I can just imagine Jesus saying to his disciples, guys, how long do you have to be with me before you will believe me? Is he more than enough to you today? Is he more than enough right now? Write it down. There's a wilderness coming. There's a storm coming. There's a desert coming. We don't get to pick and choose them. Most times we have to, or we get to walk through them. And when we realize we're walking through it with him, in the moment it might feel like I'm alone. Like this guy, he said, I watch everybody else around me and they have it together. He's blinded. The other people he sees, he thinks they have it together. You know what he is sorely missing? You know where his eyes are cloudy? He's seeing through a picture that you can't see all the way through. It's distorted. It's because that family, that person, that unit of people could be going through their own storms of life, their own desertness, their own wilderness. And you know what we do? We'll have to put our tie on. Get dressed for Sunday. When they see him, you smile, you shake everyone's hand. They say, hey, how you doing? Good. How about you, man? It's been a good week. And when you hear someone say, it's been a good week, inside your gears grind just a little bit. Because you're like, how can someone say it's been a good week when I'm going through one of the worst weeks of my whole life? Can I remind you, everyone is either going into the storm, in the storm, or coming out of a storm. And it is a vicious cycle, it seems like sometimes. How can I never get ahead? That's what he asked. How come the more that I try to obey and do, and I'm not talking about performance Christianity, I'm talking about just doing what is right. He feels like he is following what Jesus said, and it seems like the screws are still being tightened on him, and he can't breathe. Satan would want you to live in that world of being clamped down. He'd want you to be a world that you feel like you can't move, and that Jesus doesn't care, and that Jesus doesn't love you, and your world is bigger than anything he could fix, and your situation is bigger than anything that you can work through. And he wants you to feel like, I'm not enough. I'm a failure. I'm always behind. I can't get ahead. I'm looking at everyone else. Can I remind you, the book of Corinthians said it is unwise to compare yourselves amongst yourselves. Stop looking at your brother and sister in Christ thinking that they have it better when you don't know the internal struggles and fights that they're having. They could be looking good on the outside, but they are dying on the inside. But what I can tell each group of people is that Jesus is enough. And he told these people, all the multitude, I can't leave you hungry. We've been through this wilderness together. I haven't left you. It feels like you haven't been fed, but I haven't left you. And he said, I'm not going to send you away. Fellas, how much bread do we have? And them boys said, we got 7 loaves. But can that feed this multitude? He says, how soon we forget. 2 pages back in your Bible. He said, I just fed 5,000. And you're questioning me today, am I enough? The answer is, he is. The answer is, he is. That really should be our theme. Moving forward, and he is. He is everything that I need. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the bright and shining star. He is the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. And you know what? He loves each and every one of us because he is enough. So today, church family, if you're struggling with, is he enough for you? The answer is yes. No matter where you're at, he is more than enough. He is there to help you in your brightest of days, and he is there with you in the darkest moments. He is there when you try to close your eyes at night and you try to fall asleep, and the monster at night seems to grow. The monster of you're not good enough. The monster of you can't do it. The monster of you're faking it. The monster of what are you doing? He says, push those aside because I am enough. And then he says, I'm more than enough. I am the bread of life. I am that bread that I can feed them spiritually and physically. And they took up the baskets that remained 7. 7. You talk about having fish sandwiches for days. Those 12 boys had fish sandwiches for days. I'll make one side note that's not in my notes at all. It baffles my mind that Jesus Christ himself ordained 12. Ordained 12. Sent out 12. And one was a devil. You ever thought about that one? He ordained 12. One was a devil. Let that thought stick in for a moment. It had nothing to do with the message, but I just wanted you to hear that man walk with Jesus, Judas Iscariot. No one names their kids Judas anymore. I wonder why. 12 walked with him. One never caught it. And I'm not saying any of y'all are Judases in here. Somehow Judas went to bed day after day, week after week, month after month. Never put his faith in who Jesus was. He never really realized that Jesus was more than enough. But like that song those ladies just sang, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. All to him I owe. I'm so glad Jesus paid it all. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is a good day to know that Jesus paid it all. He died for you. He took your sin debt. He made salvation possible by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. And he says, come, put your faith in him. See, he was more than enough for us in our salvation, wasn't he? Aren't you glad? But he's not just more than enough in our salvation and our eternity. He's more than enough in our current situation. Jazz, if you'd come to the piano and just play something. I'd like y'all to do something. I'd like you to bow your head and close your eyes. Just for a moment. As she plays, really ask yourself, I mean it, ask yourself, God, have I been treating you like you're more than enough? You haven't left me this far, but my current situation, I'm drowning in it. I'm drowning in it. Can I encourage you and tell you he's more than enough? Tell him that you just need that extra special touch from him. Tell him that your desire is to get closer to him. Your desire is to hold on closer with him. You might feel like you're going through that storm alone, but can I remind you, you are not alone. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You. God's not ignoring you. But that wilderness is a place where you can learn about a lot about yourself. And you can learn about your relationship with the Lord. It is oftentimes a season that God leads us into. So don't go backwards. He's enough. Don't forget that he was enough. And look forward because we know he is enough. In the hardest times, in the easiest times, in the more than enough times, he is more than enough in every situation. He is with you. He takes care of that need. He gives you comfort through that trial. He gives you help in that struggle. But child of God, don't try to do it without him. Stay with him. Keep with him. Be with him. Commune with him. You'll be glad that you did, because he's more than enough. We should draw great comfort in this passage of Scripture. Where we realize he is more than enough. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, that you're so good to us. Lord, we are thankful that you're more than enough in the troubles and the trials and the struggles and the fears and the rejection and the humiliation. Lord, that you're more than enough. Lord, you're more than enough in the bright and sunny days and the fun times and the wonderful times and the living on the mountaintop. But Lord, as we go into those valleys, as we go into those deserts, into those wildernesses or in the storms, we must realize that you're with us and that you're leading us in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Lord, help me take the truth this morning that you are more than enough and apply it and believe it and live it, because that's who you are. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.